So last week, I must admit I was beating up a little too much, maybe, on the Jewish people. I was talking about that prophecy in Isaiah 53 that's so clear, like, how could you miss it? This is Jesus is fulfilling this. He's the Messiah. Especially Isaiah 53, verse 5 reads, "He was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. By his wounds we were healed." It's like, isn't it so obvious? But lest we be prideful and, you know, unkind and uncharitable, we must admit that although it is true the Jews had no excuse, Jesus fulfilled this and so many other prophecies so clearly, it was just pride and sin that kept them from seeing it. We're not that much better when it comes to judging the things of God. You know, we might have, as we heard today, the cornerstone in place in the spiritual building of God. Because we recognize, yes, Jesus is the cornerstone. We should not reject him. But it's easy for us to forget that we too are supposed to be stones built into this house of God. Like St. Peter tells us in his first letter, "Come to him, a living stone rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious. And you, like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house." We're really good at not rejecting Jesus. We're pretty bad about not rejecting ourselves. And today is Vocation Awareness Prayer Sunday. The Good Shepherd Sunday, we focus on that great call that God gives us. You know, he came, he died for us, yay! And now we need to cooperate and work with him. And as easy as it is maybe for us as Christians alive today to recognize, Jesus, he's that cornerstone. Boy, is it tough for us to accept the placement he has for us in his spiritual building. It's so easy to reject ourselves, to leave ourselves like a stone in a rubble pile off to the side and underestimate what God has for us, to not recognize that the pride of place he has. So we're going to talk about that, vocations today, the things that we can be called to. Maybe many of you already are living your vocation, and I hope that this homily will help you recognize, though unworthy of everything, God nonetheless calls us to greatness in the spiritual building. And we must be careful not to reject Jesus or ourselves. So when it comes to vocations, we're not just talking about priesthood, of course. There's marriage, religious life, priesthood, yes. But also, there's also the consecrated single life. We don't want to I left that one out last night, I'm sorry. We're going to get that one in today, at least. My homily always gets a little bit better as, you know, the days go on. So it's 11 o'clock, you guys get a little bit more polished. God calls us to many, many possible vocations. And for those of you who are still discerning, you know, listen up especially. For those of you who are living your vocation, hopefully you'll be inspired and stirred up to live that call more fully today. I want to start by saying, no vocation is easy. The temptation that most fall into in just the little time I've had as a priest is assuming that there's the easy vocation, and then there's the hard vocations that I hope I'm not called to, right? There's the girls are pretty, guys are handsome, I just want to get married. That seems like an easy path. And then priesthood, religious life, and whatever consecrated single life is, which just seems sad and gloomy, and I don't want to do that. Let's just be honest for a moment. Do you know any married couples? Any at all? Of course you do, right? Have you ever paid attention to their life? Does it seem like the end of Princess Bride every day, where they're riding off into the sunset on the stallion? No, it doesn't. I really, especially if maybe you've gotten beaten over the head with like discernment and you're just tired, like, no, I don't want to. I want you to check yourself and see, do you expect marriage to be any less of the cross than priesthood or religious life or consecrated single life is? If that's you, well, maybe don't think that anymore. Or try not to today. I want to focus on priesthood and religious life. Briefly hit consecrated religious life, and let you know, it might sound like I'm beating up on marriage a lot today. That's not my goal. But I recognize our starting point for most people is that marriage seems like the easy vocation. And that's why I'm going to seem like I'm beating up on marriage a little bit. But I don't. They're all great. And whatever you're called to, you should do. It's your path to holiness. Just point that out as some of my maybe seemingly uncharitable remarks about marriage come out. It's because I'm recognizing most people need that. They need to see marriage as the cross and its total self-sacrifice. And not easy. You know, that way, if you're called to it, you don't enter into it expecting it to be anything less than a total gift of yourself to God, in that case, with another person. So, now, since I'm a priest, I want to begin with that. You know, those who are called to priesthood are blessed to be in the person of Jesus offering the sacraments. And some folks think, Father, I'm not worthy of that. There's no way I could do that. It's way too hard. Well, I just want to remind you, you'll see it here shortly, the most of the life of a priest, I kind of just read the book. I don't know if you've noticed before. I don't have this memorized. They don't expect you to, you know, make this up or figure it out yourself. I just read the words. And then Jesus shows up. And then I get to give him to you. That's like the heart of my life. That is not hard. You might even, you know, pay attention to that today. It's like the hardest part for me is to, you know, stay focused and not get distracted. You know, I got to be attentive to those words. But even if you have a very unholy priest up here who's thinking about football or whatever, if he says the words and he means to say them, be he the worst sinner in the world, most unworthy man, Jesus shows up and you get fed the Eucharist. Now, he can't just do anything he wants. The priest needs to say the words, and there have been times when priests have made things up, and that's a different story. But think about it. The priesthood, if you're a guy and you're not married, even if you're dating, you might be called to the priesthood. Don't think it's harder than it is. You know, a priest, he says the words at Mass, like even in confession. I don't have to like figure out your problems. All I have to do is hear you and be generally, you know, certain that you're being honest, and then say the words of absolution and maybe give you a penance. You know, the hardest part for me is trying to be more creative in every one of my penances, because I feel like, you know, I always got to give people a little bit more, you know, something that's really gonna help them. If you've been to confession with me, you know my penances can get quite creative sometimes. And even that, you don't have to. Three Hail Marys works just as well as going for a walk or going to do whatever my silly penances are sometimes. Like, being a priest in what you do specifically is not hard. Like, the things that are unique to a priest. You might think, but Father, you live alone, and you don't get to get married, you don't have kids. Again, think about married life. If you get married, you're only giving up one less person. Right? If you get married, you're a guy, you're only giving up one less woman. You're a woman, you're only giving up one less guy. He's not going to be handsome for very long. Dad bod, real. It's a real thing. Same thing with guys. She might be beautiful and seem like, oh, she's your everything. But pretty soon, you're going to kind of realize she's a sinner just like you, and maybe not always catching your eye like she used to, and all these other guys are going to be attracted to other girls, and girls are going to be attracted to other guys, and that happens in marriage. Loneliness is real in marriage. The struggles of dying to self. You know, kids. You know, priests, certainly I don't get to invest in the lives of a child totally like a biological father does. But I have all of you guys. You keep me plenty busy. And I love you very much. It's not like a priest's life is drastically different. Every human will struggle with, you know, loneliness and hard work and I guess maybe preaching. That might be unique. You don't have to do that as a, you know, a dad or whatnot, but it's, you learn how to. You know, I certainly think I've gotten a little bit better over time. Don't think that the priesthood is something that's so otherworldly and I can't do that. Like, the unique parts of being a priest, God literally makes you fit for and then gives you the words to say. Everything else you struggle with in the priest is our humanity, and you can't escape that. What about religious life? Think of the monks and nuns, religious brothers and sisters. Maybe you're like, Father, There's no way I could live with a bunch of other dudes or a bunch of other women, especially women. Father, do you have any idea the drama that happens in houses of women? Like, you know, the girls mentioned that when I was talking about this women's house that's starting. But it's going to be great. You're going to find, like, if you're afraid of being around other people, like, that's the problem. The fear of being with others and being known and having to give up your own way of doing things. That's the problem. The problem isn't being with other people. Like, that's a good thing, living together. We're made for that. If you can't imagine, you know, that kind of a life and you're thinking, no way, that's what you most need to work on then, is recognizing we're not made to be isolated. We are our worst selves when no one except God and the devil sees us. Like, if you're discerning, think about the beauty of religious life, where you get to gather together and live in constant community and prayer. Your whole life is dedicated to God. And you might think, Father, I can barely pray for like 5 minutes right now without getting distracted. Like, you will learn. Like, don't underestimate what God can do in your soul. I liken it to jogging, like prayer. If you've ever jogged before, you know, you're either someone who falls in love with jogging or you still hate it today. And the difference between those people, for someone who's like generally healthy and able like to do that physically, is those who've come to love jogging have not given up on it and have stuck with it and found other people to maybe jog with. And once your body strengthens itself, like, it becomes quite enjoyable. Those who hate it, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. You can call me out on this. But my guess is you never really committed to it. You never let your tendons and muscles and joints and everything else strengthen to the point where you can jog. And you never got to the point where you can enjoy it. Like riding a bike, you just got upset and gave up. Like prayer. Like, you can get, there are souls who are made for extended prayer for most of their life. And they're the monks and nuns who stay in monasteries and save the world and keep it all from falling apart. And don't think it's something unimaginable and just sad and lonely all the time. Like, it's a beautiful life. And then, lastly, marriage. We'll do marriage and then consecrated single life. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Most people are called to that. But I really got to make sure you don't think marriage is like a fairy tale. Like, I know you don't have the benefit of being a priest where you get to hear confessions from married couples. But if somehow I could share that with you without violating the seal of confession and excommunicating myself, it might be handy. Because if you knew, and this is why I ask if you really know any married couples, you will know that marriage is being on the cross with Jesus. Just, it looks a little different, and the practicalities day to day are different, but it's the same total self-sacrifice. And you will find, if you get to know holy Catholic couples well, that sacrifice is hard. And when there's two sinners involved, as there always is in marriage, there can be a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in that process of growing in true love. Now, I always like to joke that confessions for a priest are the best celibacy booster. Because I might think, like, oh, I'm really lonely, and I see all these pretty girls around here, and then I hear, you know, a husband and a wife complaining about each other, and I'm like, Lord, thanks for making me a priest. I take that back. There's nothing, marriage is beautiful, and you should not ever think anything bad about it. I'm afraid that a lot of people do think bad about it. They think it's going to be easy. Think it's just fun, and no. You know, the divorce is so big in our country, I think, because so many people enter into marriage without actually being willing to give themselves totally up for the other person. You know, in our country, we also see such an issue with lack of openness to life, because people think they can get married and yet still live the same old life they lived before. And so they're like, well, maybe we'll just have one or two kids, because then I can kind of keep up with all my hobbies and travel and things I like to do. If you go into marriage with that attitude, you kind of get a question if it's even valid, because you weren't ready to give up everything. Like, that marriage, you have to give up your whole way of life for your wife, for your husband, and for your kids. You can't enter into marriage even hoping that you can cling to something that you had in your previous life. It's total death to self for the other person. And it should be for priests and religious too, although, you know, priests can get away. We can hide from our wives, you know? I can hide from the church, or I can hide from my kids. I don't have to take you all on vacation. Husbands and wives can't do that. That's called neglect. Even the state will get after you for that. They're not going to chase me down for giving bad homilies or skipping out on anyway. In a sense, marriage is... I never think for a second that I work harder than a married couple for that. It's just maybe that sums it up. Marriage is tough. It demands everything. It will make you holy. You don't enter into marriage thinking it's just going to be a nice little fun thing I do on the side. It's a commitment. And because, you know, if we do, we reject ourselves ultimately, this great call that God's calling us to. You know, whatever stone he's calling you to be in his building, you want to find that and you want to accept it, because that's going to be the easiest path for you to heaven. And it might not be what you initially like or want to do. So really think, like, what are the options here? And recognize that they're all good and beautiful and wonderful, and they're all the cross. You can't escape it. So pick the one that you're actually called to, not just the one you might think is easy. And trust that we're God's children, as we heard in the second reading today. He's the good shepherd. He's not going to ask you to do something that's terrible. He's not going to call you to a vocation that is going to be anything less than totally fulfilling every desire of your heart. But you got to be willing to accept it and recognize that, yeah, you're a beautiful stone. And you might feel unworthy. You might feel like you don't want to do it. That's okay. Just got to know what he's calling you to and accept that, whatever you're feeling. I'm going to leave you with something that I wrote 3 years ago. Because now that I've been a priest for 3 years, I can check my notes from the first time I preached on things. And I wrote this 3 years ago. It was 35 days before I was ordained a priest. And it's proved to be very true. I wrote, "As much as I would like to promise you that I'll be a perfect priest, the truth is that I will do things that disappoint or hurt the sheep that God sends me to lead. Although God always gives us the grace we need to be holy, we still have to choose to cooperate with that grace, and in my weakness, I know that there will be times when I fail to do so. At least that has been my track record in the past." And I found that to be true. 3 years since I wrote that. I'm unworthy. Sinner. And not always being the best priest that I could be. And yet I have no doubt that the Lord works through me in beautiful ways. And I can be a priest and take care of my people. But I leave you with that because, yeah, don't be afraid to accept what God's calling you to, because it seems scary or you're unworthy of it. Amen. None of us are worthy. But the Lord will make you fit for it. And he'll put you in his beautiful spiritual building with him as the cornerstone. And today on this Prayer for Vocation Sunday, ask for that grace. See more clearly what you're called to, or to live it out more fully if you're already in your vocation. And maybe at Holy Communion, ask him to help you accept that a little more fully today.